Okay, I'd like to call this meeting to order. Carrie?
Welcome to our virtual meeting. We are going to cover a few basic items before beginning. If you lose connection at any point during the meeting, you can reconnect by clicking the link or calling the number in the original email. To members and city staff, members, if you are able, please activate your video and keep it on for the duration of the meeting. Staff, if you are able, please activate your video when you are speaking. The chair and committee staff are responsible for muting and unmuting committee members. Please use the raise hand feature when you'd like to be recognized to speak, ask questions, or request a roll call vote. During any roll call, all panelists will be unmuted briefly. Staff, please click the raise hand feature when you are asked a question, and the chair will do their best to call on committee members in the order in which hands are received or are raised. Lowering your hand will take you out of the queue. Members of the public who are registered to speak, the name you entered in Zoom must match the name you entered in registration. You will remain muted until called upon, and the clerk will tell you when your time is up. After speaking, a member of the body may ask you a question. If you need to share documentation with the board, please send it to the email listed on today's agenda. Please do not use your video. If you turn your video on, it will be shut off. Chair, the floor is yours.
Okay, so first order of business is approval of the minutes of April 16th, 2024's meeting. Are there any comments or a motion? George?
I move we approve the minutes as written.
Okay, is there a second? Richard? I assume you said
I'll
you
second
seconded.
that
Okay,
motion.
got it. Moved and seconded. All in favor, do not raise your hand. All opposed, please raise your hand now. Seeing none, the minutes are approved. Next item is public comment. Is there any public comment today?
There is no one registered for public comment.
Okay, then we'll move to disclosures and recusals. Anybody need to do either of those today? It looks like we're all in. So we'll move to our variance, which is 2841 Harvey Street. Kyle, do you want to describe?
I do. Let me just quick pull up all of the relevant information here. So the applicant is seeking a variance from the Wisconsin UDC SPS 32107 parentheses B, which requires exit doors to be openable from the interior without the use of a key. This is a variance where the prospective property owner is proposing the installation of a magnetic locking system with the home to provide support for residents with special health safety needs to prevent them from leaving without supervision. This is a one or two family dwelling home. The board has reviewed several of these variances in the past. What we are looking to address here is effectively twofold. We're looking to establish whether or not the board feels precedent has been met to be able to approve or deny these types of future applications here. There's also a statement in support from the fire department with the condition that a 13D sprinkler system be installed. I believe a 13D sprinkler system be installed in the home. The applicant has not included that as part of their conditions. Proposals for equivalence here. They are proposing that the home will be monitored with support staff. The carbon monoxide detectors and smoke detectors shall be wired to a locking system that will unlock in the event that the alarms are activated, and that the home will have a Madison Fire Department approved knox box outside of the home to provide fire department access. So I'm looking to resolve that issue between the fire department condition approval and the proposal, and then the idea of a historic precedent for future applications. We do have two individuals who are registered to speak on this. We have the applicant, Nur Gutale, in support wishing to speak, and Sean Bass in support wishing to speak.
Okay, so I guess I would go and let the folks speak here first. So, whichever one of you wants to go first.
Yeah, this is Noor. I'll go first. Thank you so much. Thanks for the committee, for everyone on the call. So it's a 1 to 2 bed single family home. I wanted to kind of make that distinction that it's not a duplex or anything. It's a 1 to 2 bed ranch style, no basement. It's a 2 bed property is actually what it is. So just wanted to kind of clarify that point. I do believe that with the single family home, there is a precedent to not necessarily have the sprinkler system, which was kind of noted in the position statement. As Kyle noted, there'll be two staff at the house at all times, so two caregivers at all times. And you would have the fire department approved lockbox outside, which would have a fob key to disengage the lock system.
Okay, is that it? And if so, I guess I'd like to hear from Sean Bass first before we discuss.
Thanks. This is not a case or an individual which my organization supports. However, I've had many conversations with NER upon completing or putting together the application. I just wanted to note kind of the same things that NER said, which is that although there has been a request from Madison Fire Department in the past about addition of a sprinkler system, this committee has found that that was not needed in single family homes. The last time we made that request was in October of 2023. All of the other conditions that NER is planning to put in this house seem in line with the previous applications that we've submitted. And as Kyle noted, this is the fifth house that would be considered single family home with a similar variance. So the concept of precedent being set. That's all I have.
Okay, thank you. So it sounds to me like, unless there's something I'm missing, the big deal here is for the board to once again look at this idea of whether the sprinkler system is really necessary in a single family home situation. And I believe that is correct, Sean, as Sean said, that we recently approved one without the sprinkler system, a similar one. So I'd like to hear what the board members would like to say about that at this point. Any change in thinking, any reason not to treat this one like the one we treated in October? Lou?
So my question, I guess, maybe is more to the fire department and Kyle, in the I don't know when the first one was, but one of our concerns, and I'm not necessarily talking about this individual case in itself, but this is also the fifth one. So I've been on the board long enough to understand what that means. It's always our concern about when we grant it for a use because of a single or an occupant or occupants. And what if the use changes? And how do we know that these things are the variance that was specific to this case as somebody else moves in there, et cetera, that they either get corrected or not? So has there been anything, I guess, what were the results, or has this been an issue so far, with the changing of the occupants? And I can't remember when the first one was that we did, but I was around for that. So I guess I guess Matt and or Kyle, do we know of any?
Yeah, so I'll address first, and then Matt, if you want to speak on it here a little bit. From a building inspection perspective, we do maintain records in the files that are more easily accessible than they used to be. We have not encountered any scenarios or situations since granting prior approvals where referrals have been brought to our department, either from the police department, fire department, or from outside agencies, or complaints from tenants relative to changes of properties. 1 and 2 family dwellings don't tend to change uses the way a building would. So I would not be concerned from a change of use perspective as far as how it's used, other than a new tenant moving into it. My understanding of the prior discussions and the recollections here would be twofold. One, were we to receive a complaint from a person who were residing within the property, we certainly would be able to review the history of the file and we would address it. And two, that there's likely a self-correcting nature to this type of variance, which is if a new person without restrictions, without encumbrances or the need for care were to occupy the home, it would be by its very nature, something that would be want to be removed or would likely to be removed as an individual occupying that home, free to move of their own choosing, wouldn't reside within a home of which they can't leave.
Yeah, I'll just interject here that that's exactly what I think. It's just, this is not something that somebody's going to forget to change out, you know, with a tenant who doesn't need such a situation. So Matt, are you gonna speak on this?
Yeah. So you know, I our position hasn't changed. We don't feel that being able to lock people into a building is a safe situation. Even if there are people there, caretakers, there's a chance that they are not able to respond. So we have not changed our position on this. And obviously you guys have gone the other way on that, which we understand. So that's where we're at. We have concerns that who tests these systems down the road. You know, if this was a commercial building, we have things in place to test these systems and maintain them. We're not sure that we don't really have any authority to do that in a single family house. And then, you know, if there's a change of occupants that does not need this, we personally do not have any way to follow up on that at all. So that's where we're at.
Okay. Thanks, Matt. Yeah. Gail?
I just have a question, is what happens when the electricity goes out? Do they open or do they lock?
It will disengage. It'll open when it needs electrical current for it to work. So when the electricity goes out, the system disengages.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, I'll just say, Matt, in regard to what you said, certainly understand what you're saying in terms of concerns. From my perspective, this is a trade-off. These are situations where individuals have severe issues, and it's just it's a trade-off. I'd say the chances of something going wrong versus the chances of, if we don't have something like this in place, the person actually getting out and causing harm to themselves or others, to me, it's an easy trade. And I'm not, you know, the cost of the sprinkler system is unfortunately, you know, kind of throws it way out of whack with, I think, what is needed, just from my perspective. So I feel the same as I did at the last one, but enough said. Daryl?
I thought I read something somewhere, and this may be a question for the owner. You are going to be in an annual maintenance agreement with J&K Securities to have them come in and check it annually?
That's correct. So they are they own the system installation-wise. They're the ones who are doing the work. And they do an annual inspection and testing yearly. And, you know, obviously, like Matt was saying, there is no specific requirement to follow through and say, yeah, this is, you're required to do this, but that is in our process to have it checked every year, annually inspected and tested by J&K.
Yeah.
All right. Thank
you. To me, it's to the owner's interest to make sure that the system is working. I mean, they do not want to have a situation where it's not working and something goes wrong. That's, they're setting up themselves for liability. So I think it's one of those where I feel pretty confident that the owner is going to follow up like this to, and make sure that the system is functional. Richard?
I'm just wondering, is there going to be a caretaker there 24/7 or?
Yes, in this case, there will be two caretakers 24/7.
And how many people total will be in that building?
The tenant and the caretaker. So there will be a total of three people at a time, unless there is a meeting there, or, I mean, in a typical hour, it would be three, the resident and the two caretakers. Obviously could be more if a supervisor is visiting or a care team are coming. I also want to note one more thing while I have the opportunity to talk here is that there is the change of tenant portion. There are other agencies that actually make sure that the person has these specific restrictive measures approved for them to live in a property like that. And if they don't have that restrictive measurement, which is disconsidered, if they don't have that approved for, they are the provider or whoever is or the owner are not required, are not allowed to have a tenant who don't have such restrictive measurements approved in a property that has magnetic lock system like this. So it's obviously a requirement around that as well, that is gets regulated that way.
And the caretakers, are they living there or they're going to be there for an 8-hour shift, awake the whole time?
Yes. So there are multiple caretakers. So it's coming, you know, coming and going shift wise. So if it's 8-hour shift, somebody else is coming in. If it's 12-hour shift, same thing. So yes.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay. Sean, size. Not Sean Bath. Sorry, Sean Bath.
So, as it, just to clarify, the is there existing hardwired smoke alarm, carbon dioxide alarms in the building? I know when your petition it says they're tied to the new locks, but that doesn't imply that those are actually tied together. So, the first question is: is the existing smoke alarms interconnected? And the second question is. Is this lock only engaged with a fob? There's no physical key. So, for example, there's no key that the fire could go in the knock box outside that could be used in case of emergency. If for some reason the battery dies and the fob outside, the fire department can't get in, or somebody else needs to get in an emergency. Is it truly there's no actual physical key in this system?
John, do you want to answer that? Give you a chance to speak here.
Yeah, I will answer that. So, There are different ways to set up the system. It is very common that we either put in a key override or a keypad, electronic keypad, where you put in a numeric code so that you can get in without the use of a key fob. Otherwise, part of the redundancy is that there's multiple key fobs. So there's a key fob that's kept within the house. There's one that's kept in the Knox box outside of the house. There's also at least one, you can have up to four on the system, kept with a supervisor offsite so that there's always a way to get somebody into that. The other thing I wanted was going back to Richard's question, and that's that, and Nurse sort of commented on this, but putting a magnetic locking system in a house by our system, our funding system, it's considered a rights limitation. And so there has to be the documentation proving that the person needs this limitation to their rights in order to do it. And so there can only be roommates in a place if both people need that support. And the number of systems or situations ever in the world where two people who need this sort of support can also cohabitate is almost non-existent because we're talking about some behavioral challenges. So generally, when we put this sort of system in a house, it is expected that that person is living alone with just staff support.
Can you address the second part of the question about the hardwired smoke alarms?
Oh, yeah, sorry. I don't know about the current ones that go in, but what I can say is when J&K installs the system, they install their own smoke detectors and carbon monoxide detectors that are all wired together and all wired into the system.
And that will be the case for this as well.
Okay, Sean, you good? Good with that? Okay. Other questions? Or discussion? Richard?
I was wondering, how many bedroom is this house? Is it a one bedroom, two bedroom, three bedroom, four bedroom?
Two. It is two. Like Sean Bass pointed out, it would be one person living because it's almost impossible to have two people who have the same rights limitations, the same or need the same care. So it is two beds. It's going to be one tenant and their caretakers.
Okay, thank you.
Other questions or a motion? Seems to me if somebody made a motion, correct me if I'm wrong, but we're looking at the petition as submitted, the conditions as submitted by the fire department, except for the sprinklers. I think that's the way a motion would look, but I can't make it, so I'm not making a motion.
You could make the motion with the motion as stated with just the idea set up by the applicant in their application, or if you wanted to include the fire department ones, that would be in addition to those ones.
Okay, so maybe that's a discussion. Am I allowed to make a motion? I don't make motions, I don't believe. But anyway, I was just trying to frame it in terms of what we're looking at, the fire department. You know, what about the fire department's comments? Do any of those need to be included in a motion or not? We know that we are looking at possibly not doing the fire sprinkler protection. Should everything else be included? I don't see any harm. Richard? You're muted, sorry.
I have a question on the mag. Now this is a true mag lock. So is there like 2,400 pounds of pressure on that lock? Or is it electronic where it would open up? You know, some of the mag locks are actually a magnet and there's about 2,400 pounds of pressure on them. You are not going to force that door if you did have to get in from the outside. So I just want some clarification on actually, is this a true mag lock or is it an electronic lock?
It is a true magnetic lock. It's still tight. It still requires an electrical current to stay engaged, but it is a magnetic lock. And I don't know about that exact number, but I do know that there's a large amount of pressure upon.
Okay, so upon the lock. They're almost impossible to force. I mean, if it's a true mag lock, is there any reason why they didn't go with electronic where there isn't as much, but it still serves a purpose of locking the door?
I don't have the technical knowledge to answer that question.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, Jay.
I guess I would just say we trust what Jay and Kay have recommended for years as the best course of action and let them handle deciding which system is the best system.
Okay, thanks.
Okay, any further questions? Oh, Lou. There you go.
Yeah, okay. Well, I guess maybe I'm from a code perspective, this has been approved, you know, previously through our code, but I'm getting into the thought of, and we've seen it's been more recent, I would say, that the first one came up, and maybe this goes to Sean, and I'm just trying to think, you know, yeah, it's a self-correcting issue, but also, you know, I'll just go stick to the code issue is we have approved these, you know, for this exact same condition. previously, and I would be there to make the motion to approve based on the applications, the applicants, you know, the application with the fire department's recommendations, except for the sprinklers.
Okay, it's been moved. Is there a second, Gail? Are you seconding? Or?
Yes, I'm seconding.
Okay, it's been moved and seconded. I guess I'll keep it simple. All in favor, do not raise your hands. All opposed, raise your hand now. I see Richard. So that, I think that makes it 4-1 in favor, which would mean it passes. Am I reading this right, Kyle?
1, 2, 3, 4, 5. 5-1.
I don't vote.
Correct. Right?
Oh, do we have 7? Oh, they have 7.
Correct.
Okay, if we have 7, yeah. Okay, good.
5-1. You are correct. The motion passes.
Okay, motion passes. Thank you for your work on this, all right. Everybody.
All right. Thank you, Nir. We'll be in contact with you just regarding the wrap up of this. Thanks very much.
That's good. Thank you.
So we're on to new business.
All right.
Correct? We're on to new business. And
sorry, can I interject for a second? I feel like
who's talking? Sean,
one of the applicants started talking, but I muted him.
Yeah. So at this point in time, Sean, the discussion on that item is closed as the motion has been made and passed. If you'd like to reach out to me after the meeting, I'd be happy to have any discussions that you'd like.
Okay. All right,
Jim.
Now we're moving on to new business, communications and announcements. Anybody have anything today? I like to bring up one thing. It's been on my mind a little bit. I'm afraid to bring it up. But what about, should we review whether we should have in-person meetings? It seems to me the threat of COVID is pretty minor at this point. I'm personally not uncomfortable with an in-person meeting, but the question is this format, does this format do everything that we need to do and is more convenient for everybody? You know, should we leave it this way? Is there any advantage to meeting in person? Any thoughts on that, anybody? I'm not suggesting we do it. I'm just bringing up the topic. George?
Is there an option for hybrid? Being retired, I probably will look to travel in the future. And I have no problem spending a couple hours while I'm traveling to have, you know, attend a meeting. But it would be nice if that was an option.
I think there are committees who are doing hybrids, right? Staff, do you know
yeah, about? I'll speak on that. So there are hybrid options. We do have access to rooms with screens and microphones and cameras. Can certainly work to make that happen. From a staffing perspective, I have no objections if the board wishes to meet in person, to meet virtually, or to complete a hybrid option. I can do all of those. The limitations that I'm going to have from a staff perspective are going to be relative to middle of the day element. We could look to change the day of the week or the time. Evening hours are going to become difficult, so I would stay away from that. But at the board's discretion, I'd be happy to put together arrangements for anything that they would like to do.
And if it's more conducive to the board to have a item on the next agenda to just make this a more formal discussion, we can certainly do that as well.
Yeah, maybe people want to think about it, but I see three hands, and I either Matt or Gail was first, which
Matt was, but we can let Gail go first since she's a member. It's up to you.
Yeah, go ahead, Gail. Why don't you?
I was going to say I like the hybrid. As you know, I've had to attend it while driving in my car because of my schedule being a realtor, that sometimes I'm running around, and we've had trouble making a quorum. And so I know it's important to be able to attend whenever I can. So the hybrid idea is convenient for me in a lot of different ways.
Okay, Lou? Or Matt, do you want to speak? You were next.
Yeah, I guess I was just going to say, being somewhat selfish, the I can do whichever way you all want to go. The online works great for me. It just helps me be semi-efficient through my day instead of having to leave and come back. Just starting to get pretty taxed with duties here, and we're expanding our territories. So it helps us be able to be efficient being online. That's all. Thank you.
Okay, Lou, then?
For the discussion, possibly for our next meeting on this, I would like to understand what Kyle, what other boards the city has done, and what is the city's stance on this. From a personal standpoint, I like the convenience, but I think sometimes there is something missed. And if there was ever a person that felt that they were not approved on a close vote or something, you know, there could be something, you know, it could set it either way. So I'd like to understand what the city's view and position is to help. So that would just be what my comment is.
I can certainly prepare that and distribute it.
Okay, Daryl, I think you're next. Tell me if I'm wrong.
I don't know. I'll go in front of Rich. My thought is there was a reason we went virtual, and that reason, it doesn't exist anymore. There's something to be said about doing the hybrid. I'm like with George, I plan on doing a little traveling, but there are times I wouldn't mind meeting in person, and there are times that I might be traveling that I can just call in. So I like the idea of having some flexibility, but I also just want to mention that, and I have a number of meetings that I attend, and everyone's kind of going through the same thought process. I go, but to me, the reason we did this is no longer is here. So, you know, there's something to be said about going back in person or providing a hybrid. Thanks.
Okay, Rich, your turn now.
Yeah, I like the hybrid, having the option so that, say with parking downtown, it's pretty difficult to find parking. I work downtown, and the time you park and walk to a meeting is going to take more time. So I would like that, you know, to have that option. So if a person is busy, you know, or traveling, that they can go online and Zoom. And if they want to come in person, they could. So I like the hybrid.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. This is a lot of good feedback. It's to me, I think this is a common thing with committees and meetings now, whether they should, which way to go of the three options that we have in front of us. I used to think personally that it was great to, there's something about meeting in person that's just different and has certain advantages. For our board, I'm not sure it stands out as much as maybe with other boards or other activities. So what I wouldn't want to see though is to set up this hybrid and, you know, like two people on the committee are showing up on the board. Two people on the board show up most of the time. I mean, then you start thinking, what's the point, right? So maybe for next time, people would think about whether if it was hybrid, how often would they actually be one of the people who comes in person? Carrie?
So the scheduling software that we use to post notice for any sort of meeting does give us the flexibility to change individual meetings to either virtual, hybrid, or in person. So it's not a choose one and forever live by that choice. there is flexibility to maneuver as long as we know ahead of time what certain meetings the board decides to host as.
That's great to know. That's really nice. I would say I just brought this up because I think it's worth discussing, but maybe we should have it as an agenda item. Everybody can think about it next week as far as how much we really need to shake things up, or if in the end, you know, most people are not going to attend in person, because again, there's no point having a in-person meeting if most of the board is not going to be coming. I don't think there's much advantage there. So does it sound good to people to just put it on the next agenda as a something to discuss?
Yeah, we should debate it in person.
Yeah, there we go. We have the next meeting in person, see who shows up.
Mud wrestle.
Yeah, okay. So that's all I have. So if there's nothing, Luke?
No, sorry.
Oh, that's left over. Okay, does anybody else have any communications or announcements? Otherwise, we'll look for a motion to adjourn. George?
You're on mute, George.
No, I'm good. I move that we adjourn.
Okay, it's been moved. Gail?
I second.
Okay, moved and seconded. All in favor, do not raise your hand. All opposed, raise your hand now. Okay, very good.
Thank you, everybody. Everyone. Have a wonderful day.
Thank you.
Be well.
You too.
Have a good one.